Whoever causes one of these little ones to fall away from their faith, that person should be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck. Millstone was a huge stone in the shape of a donut. And it was the same as saying, if you're going to lead someone astray, damn you. Jesus says in bold images to get us to stop and think about what we're doing. If your eye causes you to sin, pop it out. Cut off your hands and feet if they cause you to lose faith. It's the way the storytellers in the Middle East talked. It's the way the good storytellers and communicators still today speak. As parents and now as a grandparent, sometimes we have to exaggerate something to get our point across. Our granddaughter, Emma, lives with us on Fridays, and so I have to be responsible for her. And sometimes I really fear for that girl's life. She, when we're out in the park and on the play equipment, she is fearless. She will go on anything. She'll climb anywhere. When she was little, I took my breath away half the time. And she doesn't stop doing that when she comes in the house. And if it's too quiet in our house for a while, I have to go check and investigate. And sometimes I'll find her up on the counter, okay? And what she's doing is that we put the treats up on the top shelf. Emma, stop. And then if she continues her scent towards the animal crackers, then I will say, Emma, stop, you'll break something. And if she still doesn't stop, Emma, stop, you're going to hurt yourself. And then finally, when I get to her and I pick her up and then put her on the ground, you could have killed yourself. Oh, man. And I mean it at the time, although she probably wouldn't have killed herself. But I wanted her to understand. She needed to understand the urgency of it. I didn't want her to do it again. I wanted her to be safe. I needed Emma to hear me. I needed her to understand me. I needed her to know how to stay out of trouble and to be safe because she's precious to me. Now, Jesus loved his disciples. And he uses strong language for the same reason. He needs to get their attention so they will know how important it is not to do certain things. And he does it because they are precious to him. Mark 9, 42 to 48. If anyone should cause one of these little ones to lose faith in me, it would be better for that person to have a large millstone tied around his neck, thrown into the sea. So if your hand causes you to lose your faith, cut it off. It's better to enter life without a hand than to keep both hands and cut it off. It's better to enter life without a foot than to keep both feet and thrown into hell. And if your eye makes you lose faith, take it out. It's better to enter the kingdom of God with only one eye than with both eyes to be thrown into hell, where the worms that eat never die and the fire that burns is never put out. Thank you, Jesus. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, sometimes you got to feel sorry for pastors, okay? It's our responsibility to read these things that Jesus says, as hard as they are to hear. And I had to read and reread and figure out what I was going to say today about sin and hell. They're not my favorite topics. But I did learn that the word that Jesus used for hell was Gehenna. And that comes from the Hebrew word Hinnom. And Hinnom was the valley just outside of Jerusalem that had a terrible history. It was terrible. When the evil pagan king Ahaz commanded that all of the country should worship fire, this is where he worshiped. And not only that, but he would sacrifice little children in that fire. A despised place. It was an evil place. It was an ugly place where no one would want to live. They all wanted to avoid it. And so they began throwing their garbage there. And when the garbage started to smell, they burned the garbage. But still there was enough there for the worms to crawl around and have delicious meals. This was a place to be avoided. Gehenna was a terrible place. So Jesus uses it. And he uses it not only in our example today, but several times in the Gospels we hear about this ugly place. Jesus is warning his disciples that what leads you into temptation Sin is a big problem. What you're looking at with your eyes, what you're paying attention to, if these things are sinful, it would be better to take out your eye than to end up in Gehenna. Jesus forces us with strong language forces that reality upon us, that if our feet are leading us into temptation, take action. It's better to go on limping with one foot than to be kicking around in smoldering foul garbage of sin. Jesus, in our passage, curiously enough, doesn't define that sin. He doesn't go down a whole list of things that you're supposed to not do as sins. Paul in his letters does, he tells us, so we have lists. He assumes that they know what the sins are already, okay? And he was probably right. And so Jesus is warning about sin, but he's really backing up a step. And he's warning them that if our eyes and hands and feet are leading us into sin, and that's what he is talking about here, what leads us into sin? When we choose to sin, it's usually the choice that we make just before the final decision that gets us into big troubles. It gets us into situations that we can't quite figure out and that we can't get out of. We're trying to lose weight, okay? Well, then you got to walk on the other side of the street from the Dairy Queen, okay? It's that second to the last choice, that to walk in front of the Dairy Queen. If you have trouble with alcohol, then don't drive down the street where the liquor stores are, because it's that second to the last choice that's going to be a problem. It's the second to the last choice that often leads us into temptation. And Jesus wants to warn us about what leads to sin, those things that we see and pay attention to that get us into trouble. What is it that the things that we are doing, when he says hands, that's what he's talking about. What is it that we're doing that makes that final decision to sin so difficult to say no to? What are the situations we find ourselves in which it's almost impossible to say no to sin? Mark said, if there is anything in our lives which is coming between us and a perfect obedience to the will of God, however dear that thing or person is to us, however much the habit or custom may have made a part of our lives, it must be rooted out. And sometimes this rooting is as painful as a surgical operation. It may seem like cutting out a part of our own body. But if we are to know real life, real happiness, real peace, it's got to go. One day when our children were young, I heard Lori singing a song to them, a song that she learned in Sunday school, and maybe you heard it too. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be happy. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Now, this would be simply a little scolding song and a finger wagging, telling us what you shouldn't do. If it weren't for the... It's not a scolding God. It's not a frowning God. It's a God that is looking down in love. That's why we're careful. That's why we're careful. And that God does not leave us in our sin. God has shown us a way. And it has not been easy. It involves sacrifice. If we think we have to sacrifice something in order to avoid a temptation, imagine the sacrifice that God has made on our behalf in Jesus Christ. We are loved. We are loved when we are good. We are loved when we are sinning. We have a God who desires for us real life, real happiness, and real peace. And if we offer this before our loving God, not only our sin, but the temptation to sin, we can experience life and happiness and peace because God loves us enough to forgive us. God loves us enough not to hold all those things against us that God had every right to. God forgives us and allows us a new way to begin, not mired in Gehenna, not among the smoldering fire and the worms, We need at some point to cut out old habits. We need to abandon some pleasure. We need to give up some friendships that are leading us away from God. Not too long ago, called 127 Hours. It was about a fellow who liked to climb rocks, and he was great at it. He was brilliant. He could go up and down the side of a face of a hill or mountain, or down into a cavern or ravine. And he was hiking by himself. Excuse me. When all of a sudden he slipped. And as he slipped, he brought down a lot of rocks on him. And when he got to the bottom of the ravine, he discovered he was trapped, and that his arm, there was a huge boulder on top of it. He couldn't get out. He couldn't get out. He was trapped. But it was only his hand. And he was there for one day and carefully rationed his water and his food. And he was there for the next day. And then he decided, what do I have to do? What do I have to do? He had to cut off his hand. First he broke it, and then with his knife he cut the skin. He put a tourniquet on it, pulled it away, because as long as that boulder was on his hand, he wasn't going to be able to get away. He wasn't going to be able to live. I think Jesus would have used that example in our story today. Because sometimes the sins that keep us are like that boulder. They keep us from doing what we know we need to do. They keep us from real and true life, to find our true life. Whatever is coming between us and perfect obedience to the will of God, it's just got to go. And so Jesus uses strong language. He uses exaggeration. He gets our attention and says something even more powerful has taken place. My love for you, my death on the cross, has allowed you to live this full and happy and free life that God intends for you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Loving God, we thank you for Jesus and for his story and for his actions on the cross and for his life broken, his blood shed for us. We pray that we would be mindful of those things and that we would know it's the second to the last choice that often gets us into troubles. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen.